Welcome to the Deep Dive. We're here to help you cut through the noise in your source material on complex topics, get you informed fast. Today, we are plunging into Europe's landscapes, amazing places, really deeply marked by centuries, millennia of human activity, a real testament. But our sources suggest something else, too. Beneath it all, there's this kind of fading echo of a wilder past. And the biodiversity crisis we hear about seems it's not some sudden shock, but more like a speeding up of a long, slow unraveling.
Yeah, and what's really striking, I think, is the paradox here. You've got the serious decline happening, but Europe also has, well, arguably one of the most sophisticated sets of environmental laws anywhere.
Right. That's the puzzle. With all that protection, why are things still looking so, frankly, bad?
Well, the sources we looked at, they keep pointing to this idea of policy incoherence. That's the term they use. And right at the heart of that, you almost always find the CAP, the Common Agricultural Policy.
The CAP, that massive EU system for farm support.
Exactly. It's huge. And that seems to be the core issue we need to unpack today.
Okay, so to get a grip on this, we probably need to look back a bit. Did the sources show anything surprising about Europe's, you know, historical baseline, maybe challenge common ideas?
Oh, definitely. It's quite revealing. Take the 1845 Bavarian animal observation data set, for instance. Even way back then, the Eurasian otter, already listed as rare, consistent.
Rare, even in 1845.
Mm-hmm. And the Eurasian beaver was very rare before it vanished entirely in Bavaria around 1867. You also had foresters noting declines in birds like common snipe and ducks because wetlands were being drained. This wasn't new.
So this idea of a totally pristine European past, maybe that's not quite accurate.
Exactly. It challenges that myth of pristine nature. Many of Europe's biodiversity hotspots think grasslands, wetlands, they aren't untouched wilderness. They're what we call semi-natural landscapes. They've been shaped for ages by people or even, you know, ancient large herbivores. And tragically, because of all that drainage over centuries, wetlands are now described as being in the worst condition in Europe.
Wow. Okay, so that's the historical context. How does that long history, plus this policy incoherence, show up in Europe's nature right now? What's the latest health check say?
Well, European Environment Agency, the EEA, they're the main monitoring body. Their latest report paints a pretty stark picture. They call it a serious and continuing decline.
Serious and continuing. Okay. Any specific numbers?
Yeah, staggering numbers. A huge 81% of assessed habitats are rated poor or bad for conservation status and for species. 63% of assessments come back unfavorable, and maybe the most dramatic figure, farmland bird populations, they plummeted 36% just between 1990 and 2021.
36%. That's massive for farmland birds.
Right.
What about sort of wider extinction risks? Trees, fish, that kind of thing.
Also quite alarming, the IUCN European Red List, that's the International Union for Conservation of Nature, their data shows 42% of native European trees are threatened with extinction. And for freshwater fish, it's at least 37% threatened.
Goodness. And what do these reports say is the main driver of all this?
Across the board, the assessments identify unsustainable agriculture as the single biggest pressure.
The single biggest. Is that like universally agreed upon in the sources, or is there debate?
There are other pressures, of course, but the sources are remarkably consistent on farming's dominant role. It really is the elephant in the room.
Okay. Now, Europe does have protections. Natura 2000, that's the massive network of protected areas, right?
Right.
World's largest. Our research showed it has had successes inside its boundaries. But what are the weaknesses? The implementation gaps the sources mentioned.
Yeah, Natura 2000 is significant, but it definitely has weaknesses. There are gaps in what it covers. Freshwater fish are a good example. They move around a lot. Plus, there are ongoing issues with how sites are managed and just chronic underfunding, like having a great plan but not enough resources to actually build it properly.
So not enough resources.
Right. And that brings us back to the fundamental issue, the Common Agricultural Policy. You know, despite some greening attempts over the years, the CAP still eats up about a third of the whole EU budget.
Yeah.
And a large chunk of that money basically subsidizes the very farming practices that are causing the problems Natura 2000 is trying to fix.
So it's working against itself in a way.
Yeah.
But you mentioned a glimmer of hope earlier.
Yes, absolutely. The new EU Nature Restoration Law. This is potentially a very big deal. It actually sets legally binding targets, restore at least 20% of the EU's land and sea areas by 2030. That's a major step up in ambition.
Legally binding. Okay. And are there already examples showing this kind of restoration can work? Anything concrete from the sources?
Definitely. Look at Denmark's Skjern River project. They basically undid earlier straightening work, remeandered the river, restored the marshlands, and the results were quite fast environmental recovery, plus new economic benefits from things like tourism. It shows it's doable.
That's encouraging. So beyond restoring specific places, is there a bigger shift in thinking happening?
Yes, and this is where the rewilding movement comes into the picture. It's kind of a new way of thinking. Instead of focusing just on specific species or habitats, it focuses on restoring natural processes. Things like bringing back natural grazing with European bison, maybe water buffalo, or removing dams to let rivers flow freely. The idea is to create ecosystems that can largely manage themselves. Moving away from intensive gardening towards managing processes, it could be much more scalable.
Interesting. A shift towards managing processes, not just outcomes. Okay, so wrapping this up. The story of Europe's biodiversity is, well, clearly one of major loss. But these examples we've touched on, they really do show that recovery, even large-scale recovery, is possible.
Absolutely. And ultimately, the sources suggest the future doesn't really hinge on brand new science. We largely know what needs doing. It hinges on political will, on achieving genuine policy coherence, getting those different policies, especially agriculture and environment, to actually work together. Which leads to a final thought, really, for you, the listener. Can Europe go beyond just protecting these sort of fragmented islands of nature? Can it actually reweave its living fabric by making some quite radical policy shifts, properly enforcing the rules we have, and deciding, really, what version of nature from its complex past we actually value and are willing to manage for?